church this morning, and I don't generally use this. I usually have one of these pinned on me where I can be free, but I'll adjust, and thank God. We want to invite your attention this morning. Did I tell you I'm glad to be here? All right, good enough. We want to invite your attention this morning to the book of James. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Addison. This is the Sunday before Christmas. And what does James have to do with a Christmas message? Well, you just wait and watch. You just wait and watch. Because James has a lot to say about this Advent season. And the Advent means the coming of Jesus Christ as a babe in Bethlehem. Look at James chapter 1, if you please, and verse 17. Remembering that this is the Christmas season. And here's what James has to say to us in God's word. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And cometh down from the what? The Father of lights, with whom is no variable, neither shadow of turning. I'm going to read that again. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We want to speak to you this morning on the subject, God's Christmas present. God's Christmas present. Maybe you didn't know this, but God is in the Christmas present business. God is in the Christmas present business. 2,000 years ago, God gave us all of us, God gave us a Christmas present. 2,000 years ago, he did. And God's Christmas present even came wrapped. Now, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you stay with me because I'm going to tell you. God's Christmas present came wrapped. Because the Bible tells us it came wrapped in what? Swaddling clothes. It was a present so costly and so expensive until the angels in heaven came down to declare God's Christmas present to man. That present was so expensive and so costly. The angels came down and they had to sing glory to God in the highest, and peace and goodwill towards men. Today, we all associate with people who are doing whatever they can do to wipe out the real reason for Christmas. That's right. That's right. They want today to remove the name of Jesus Christ from our minds and any other place that reminds people of his precious name. Satan and the ungodly people of this world hate the name of Jesus. That's right. They hate the name of Jesus, and listen, they will never be satisfied until they can eradicate the name of Jesus from our minds and from the public square. There are things going on that many of you don't, that are happening around you all, and you don't know it. They are not satisfied until they can remove all of the nativity scenes about Jesus from the public square. They're not satisfied until they can remove God's name from the Pledge of Allegiance. They don't want it in the Pledge of Allegiance. They're not satisfied until they can remove God's name from the U.S. monetary currency. If you look at a dollar, it says, in God we what? They want to remove that, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. They're not satisfied until they remove all of the Christmas carols from our schools and our churches. They're not going to be satisfied until they remove all the mention of the name of Jesus from the public domain. They're not going to be satisfied until they rewrite all of the hymn books that mentions his glorious and holy name. Now, make no mistake about it this morning. Spiritual Christmas is being attacked like it has never been attacked before. The very mention of the name of Jesus Christ and Merry Christmas in some quarters invokes anger and hate and hostility. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it. There are stores today and places of businesses like Walmart and your doctor's offices which have instructed their employees to greet all customers by saying, listen, happy holiday or season greetings, and they've been told not to say Merry Christmas because that would offend those who are not Christians. That's what's going on today. Don't say Merry Christmas. You see, the word Christmas has the name Christ in it. The word Christmas has the name Christ in it. And the world today wants to eradicate the name of Jesus Christ from the minds and the tongue of believers this morning and the world. Did you know that this nation was founded upon the name of God? That's right, this nation. Yet the world has already moved towards the spirit of the Antichrist. While many of us are asleep, they're moving with the spirit of the Antichrist. Many of God's people are clueless as to what is happening in our churches and in our schools and on our jobs and in some homes. Who would ever thought that the word Christmas would become a threat to the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States? Who would ever thought, if you want to say that, who would have thought that we would have had a president? Don't get me started on that one. Who says the things that he says? Walmart, JCPenney's, Hex, Sears and Roebuck, and other commercial stores don't mind making financial profit from Christmas sales, but they don't want to acknowledge that without Christ, there would be no Christmas. They know that when we wish each other Merry Christmas, we are verbally acknowledging that Jesus is the reason for the season. Christmas is a joyous time of the year. It should be. It ought to be. And we all in here this morning, we all in here enjoy receiving gifts. And you know what? I enjoy receiving gifts. I got a gift this morning when I came here. Sister Kaysen came back and says, come and get a gift. And I got some baby socks, I thought. And I said, Sister Kaysen, you don't mean, these are not baby socks for a little infant baby, because Mrs. Ice and I are too old for that now. She said, no, no, these are socks for your wife. And she gave us me something else and some candy. And I enjoyed receiving gifts. We all like to receive gifts. I just enjoyed it, receiving those gifts, and I want to thank you. We all like to receive gifts. You know why? Because it's in our DNA. We like receiving gifts. Here's the catch. 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, God gave the world a Christmas present. God gave the world a Christmas present. And it came, listen, it came wrapped, didn't it? Talk to me. It came wrapped, and then it came free. Won't cost you a dime to accept it. And then it came priceless. It was precious, and it came priceless. God's Christmas present came to us in three ways, and you need to get it down. You need to get it down. Why do I say get it down? Because if you don't write it down, the devil will see that you'll forget it. You say, well, what do you got for me, Pastor Addison? I've got three things that you need to know about God's Christmas present to you this morning. And you say, well, why three? Because two is not enough and four is too many. Well, what are these three things that God has given us on this Christmas? Well, the first one is he's given us his gift. His gift. Just get it down there. Second thing that God has given us, he's given us his payment. His payment. God has given us his payment. And thirdly and lastly, God has given us his tree. You say, what? His tree. Let's talk about this first one, if we please, this morning. What does the Bible, what does James have to say about God's Christmas present? Well, listen to James this morning, because James says it so clearly in James chapter 1, verse 17. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from where? The source of the perfect gift comes from above, comes from the Father. Comes from the Father. So God has given us his gift, which is his Son. Stay with me now. He has given us a gift. You all said you like to receive gifts. If you like to receive gifts, then you all ought to receive God's Son. That's his gift. And it didn't cost you a dime to receive it. Several years ago, Hallmark cards, I've been getting them all week. People send me, and friends send us Christmas cards, and some of them are Hallmark cards. And Hallmark has a saying printed on their Christmas cards that say, if you care enough, send the very best. Hallmark is saying, if you care enough about who you're sending that card to, a Christmas card to, send them Hallmark cards. Because Hallmark cards are the very best. If you care enough. And I believe that that is what God is saying this morning. God cared so much for us that he sent his very best, the very best that he had, his perfect gift, and that was his Son, Jesus Christ. He sent his very best gift to us, and all we have to do is receive it, his gift, God's Christmas present. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from where? Above, from the Father. The story is told about three sons. They left home one day and they went on their own and they made a lot of money. One day the three boys got together and they discussed the gifts that they would give to their dear elderly mother at Christmas. So the first son says, I built a big house for my mother, and I gave it to her free of charge. Mama now's got a big house free of charge. Well, the second son said, well, I sent Mama a brand new Mercedes. And she even got a full-time chauffeur with that Mercedes. Well, the third son, not to be outdone by son one and two, said, I got you both beat. I got you both beat. Because y'all remember how Mama enjoyed reading the Bible every day? And you know, Mama can't see real good now. She doesn't see very good anymore. So I sent her a talking parrot bird. And that parrot bird can recite all 66 books of the Bible from one word to another, from one line to another. It took 13 years to teach that bird how to recite all the books of the Bible from memory. And all Mama has to do is say the chapter and verse, and Polly want a cracker, and that Polly will repeat, that bird will repeat the verses of scripture that Mama asked it to repeat. Several months later, all the sons paid a visit to Mama house, and she thanked them for the gifts they gave her for Christmas. And to the first son, Mama said, son, Milton, that big house you gave me was so large, son. She says, it's nice, and I live only in one room of it because Milton is so big, I can't clean that big house. To the second son, whose name was Jerry, she says, son, I'm too old to travel. I'm too old to travel. I stay in the house most of the time, and I don't drive a lot anymore. And the driver you gave me, the chauffeur, he's rude, and sometimes he's lazy. Then she looked at a third son, and she says, Donald. She said, Donald, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Son, you had the good sense to know what your mama liked. She said, that chicken you gave me was delicious. It was some kind of good. We enjoyed eating it down to the very last bone. Sons can give you the wrong gifts, but God gave us a gift. Stay with me now. God's gifts are always right, because the Bible says God's gifts are perfect gifts. Every good and what? Perfect gift. God gave us a perfect gift. God didn't give us a house. God didn't give us a car. God didn't give us a bird. God's gift was Jesus. And wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's right. Laying in a manger. That's the God's gift this morning. The Christmas tree was the cross. And under God's tree, the cross, we find some presents. You say, what? Under the cross, which is the Christmas tree, there are some presents. You go and unwrap presents under that green tree, but you ought to go to the cross. God has some presents under that cross. You say, well, Pastor Addison, what are they? I'll tell you what they are. Write them down. Number one, you know what's under the Christmas? You know the first present when I reach down and get my present under God's Christmas tree? The first one is God has given us the present of eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. That's right. Listen to what he says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave, didn't he? He gave his only what? Begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have what? Ever. That's eternal life to me. Yes. Sounds like God has given eternal life. Yes. Amen? Amen? Amen. God has given us eternal life. Listen, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But then look, Paul, the Apostle Paul, dittos that and says, well, John got it right. Because Paul comes right behind that and says in Romans 6:23, you know what Paul says? Paul says, for the wages of sin, the wages of sin is what? Yes. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. You didn't get it. You're not getting where I'm going. Some of you know where I'm going. The gift under that Christmas tree, that cross, is eternal life. And all you've got to do this morning is receive it. And it won't cost you a dime. God says, if you die in Christ, you're going to live forever. Die in Christ. That "in" is a preposition, means you die in Christ. Didn't say nothing about dying in the church. You can die in the church and go to hell. But you got to die in that prepositional phrase, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Somebody back there says, that's right. Amen. It's right because it's tight. But there's another present under that tree, Brother Casey. There's another present under that tree. I just told you eternal life was under that tree, didn't I? Yes. But God has got another present. But you got to look under there to see what it is. And under that Christmas tree, under that cross, that tree, there is a present called peace. 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 You say, what do you mean, peace? Well, if you look at John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. I'm going to give you my peace. You see, Philippians, Paul says, I can ditto that. Because Paul comes right behind John and says in Philippians 1:7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You can't understand it. But God gives us the peace of God. And you can't understand it. All you got to do is receive it. That's God's gift to us this morning. Not only eternal life, but the peace that only God can give. Oh, we used to sing, oh, the peace that Jesus gives. Never dies, it always what? Lives. Like the music of a song. And the quiet, eternal calm is the peace that Jesus gives. Is the peace that Jesus gives. God's peace, my beloved. God's peace, my beloved, is different from the world's peace. You see, the world's peace is outside. The world's peace is external. But God's peace, my beloved, this morning is on the inside. It's internal peace. The world's peace is based on the outer man. God's peace is based on the inner man. Amen. You will never have the peace of God. You didn't hear what I'm saying. Now listen to me. You will never have the peace of God until you know the Prince of Peace. You didn't hear what I just showed you. That's good. You will never have the peace of God until you know the Prince of Peace. You say, what are you talking about? Isaiah told us that in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Listen to Isaiah. Don't listen to Addison. Listen to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah says, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And his name shall be called what? Counselor. And his name shall be the Mighty God. The Everlasting what? Father. The what? Prince of Peace. Isaiah said, the Prince of Peace. You notice Isaiah called him a prince. You know why Isaiah said a prince? Because at that time he was a prince. One day he's coming back to be the king. You didn't. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the king. You see, he's the prince now. Over there in England there, they got Prince Charles. One day when Queen Elizabeth dies, guess what's going to happen to the prince? He's going to be promoted to become what? Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isaiah said in that day he was the Prince of Peace. One day, beloved, the prince is going to be king. He's going to be president. He's going to be prime minister. He's going to be ruler over it all. And I believe it because I'm a fool for Jesus. Are you a fool for Jesus this morning? I'm talking about that third gift under that tree. The third gift under that Christmas tree is peace. Inner peace is a gift from God, and only God can give us inner peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And if you read that verse carefully, it says in that verse in Philippians, and it will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Notice he switches the preposition. He doesn't say in Christ Jesus. He says it will keep your heart and mind through. That's a preposition too. Through Christ Jesus. That's what God's Christmas present to us is today. That God has given us eternal life as a present. God has given us what? Peace as a present. But you said, Pastor Addison, is any more under that tree? Yes, yes, just wait. I can't wait to get to them. You remember when we used to go, when I was a little boy, Mama used to put all the Christmas presents under the tree and we would come out. And I couldn't wait to get to them and to pull the wrappings off to see what they were. I was a happy little boy. And I'm happy to know that God got Christmas presents. And you got to make sure that you can receive them. And you can't receive them if you don't take Christ as your Savior. They're yours. They're mine. but you've got to receive them. What's the third Christmas present? You ready for it? It's wisdom. It's wisdom. Under that tree this morning is wisdom. You unwrap that Christmas package, that gift, and that present will reveal that God has given us wisdom. You say, well, where is that at in the Bible? James tells us about it. In James chapter 1, verse 5, let James tell you about that third Christmas present. James says, if any of you lack what? If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Let him ask of God that does what? That gives to all men liberally, and it shall be given unto you. That's what James said. James, that old apostle James. I like James because James was a praying man. Tradition says that James prayed so much that he was known as Old Camel Knees. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 5, that God has given us wisdom, but you've got to ask for it. God has given us the Christmas gift of wisdom. If you lack wisdom, James says, ask God for it. Every day we ask God for everything else. Ask God for a house, ask God for money, ask God for a job. But do you ever ask God for something within his will? God wants you to go to his word and ask for something within his will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be. Yes. But God wants you to ask for some things in his will, in his word, and he's promised this. Every day we live, we make choices. Every day we live, we make decisions. Amen? And we need God's wisdom in the choices that we make so that God will help us make the right decisions in the choices that we make. And in the Bible, in James, it tells us that God has said, I'm going to give you wisdom. But how many of you ask for it? Very few said, Lord, I need this, I need this, but Lord, I'm going to ask you, your word tells us that, give me some wisdom that I might make the right decisions in my life. And God has promised that in his word. Wisdom. Speaking about promises. God has made us promises. He's made a promise that he would give us wisdom. And do you know what? This morning, God always keeps his promises. That's right. We don't always keep ours. God always keeps his promises. Last point, God's Christmas presents, his gifts, his payment. And third one is his what? I got you, didn't I? You're sleeping on me. His tree. His gift. The last point is his tree. What? You mean his tree? That's right, his tree. Do you know what? This wonderful Savior that I'm talking about, this wonderful Savior that I'm going to see one day, he gave me a gift. He gave us a gift. And then he paid for the gift. And he paid for that gift on a tree. You say, what? A tree? That's right. Listen to him in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, who his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. bore in his own body on a tree. So it is not the Christmas tree that is important today. It's the, you see, the Christmas tree to us today is important, but that's not important, that Christmas tree, because that is worldly materialistic attitude, materialism. The Christmas tree hanging in the, standing in the homes and in the schools, nothing wrong with it as long as you don't lose sight that that's not what Christmas is about. God has a Christmas tree. God has a Christmas tree, and Peter just told us that he, in his own body, died on a tree. God has his own Christmas tree. It's not a pretty thing to look at it. It won't glow, the cross didn't glow with beautiful lights.